Let's begin with Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, your printout. You'll notice the title says Jesus is personally aware of our works. Jesus continued his message to the church of Thyatira saying, I, Jesus Christ, your Savior, the living God, your judge, the one who provides for you and cares for you more than you know. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Well, look at these two words as we begin. I know. Know means to know from personal observation. Is Jesus Christ here in this congregation at this moment, this morning? Your answer would be yes. Jesus is saying, what I'm about to tell you is what I've seen with my own eyes. So Jesus is intimately mindful of all that is happening. Then look at thy works. I know thy works. The word works refers to deeds, actions, and activities. Jesus is saying, I know everything about you, and there is absolutely nothing about you I do not know. Does that scare you? Next, Jesus praises their charity. Charity. What is charity? Charity is love. Love is agape. Let's begin. I hope you have something to write with. Charity. Agape love. Agape love. Underline the word love. Let's define what love is. Some people would say that love is a lot of emotion, a lot of gushy things. Well, that's really not true in the Greek language. The word love means doing what God prefers. Doing what God prefers. Remember what he said in the scripture? If you love me, you will obey me. So love is not a gushy word. Love is not about all tears. Love is about doing what God prefers. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. You'll recognize this pretty quickly, I would assume. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The more I study the fruit of the Spirit, the more I realize I did not understand the fruit of the Spirit, what it was really all about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Underline that phrase, the fruit of the Spirit, for it tells you and it tells me that this is fruit that I cannot create. It is fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us. When did the Holy Spirit come to dwell in you? At salvation. What is salvation? It is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And the moment you do that, then the Holy Spirit steps inside you, and He's going to stay inside you until the day that you die. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, us refers to Christian people, is love. Unselfish concern for others. It is joy, that is inner peace. It is patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Verse 23, there's a few more. Gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. Now I want you to just sit back there and listen like Dwayne is doing. He's ready for this. And here we go. Question, what is the secret of life? The answer, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. What is fruit? It is the unfolding of life. The unfolding of life. I sat in the office this morning and here's what came to my mind. some of us as Christians are nothing but a bud. Have you ever held a rose bud? Well, it's small, right? And mostly what's on the inside is covered up by the wrapping on the outside. But when that bud begins to unfold, then we see something. We see the unfolding of life itself. So therefore, as a Christian, I'm either going to be a bud all my Christianity, or I'm going to be in the process of unfolding in reference to the process of bearing fruit. Please listen. So what is fruit? It is the unfolding of life, little by little, scene upon scene, process by process. Galatians describes it in its simplest form. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What about joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, meekness, and self-control, you ask? When Paul said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and listen closely, the implication is that joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control all describe what love is. Fruit doesn't exist for itself. It exists for others. Too often we want the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so we can be satisfied, happy, and fulfilled. But that's not the purpose of fruit. The secret of life is fruit bearing. Not for our own satisfaction, but in order that others might be nourished from the fruit produced in, through, and often in spite of us. Focus on yourself and you'll be miserable. Be a lover of God and you'll be a lover of people. Get your eyes off your problems and pains, your tears and fears. Look for ways to refresh, satisfy, and bless others. And you'll find the secret of life itself. Let's go back to the printout. Let's begin looking at love. It is an awesome word. Agape love is a love that gives. How giving are you? And when you give, does it come from love? If your giving comes from love, it's going to be an unending giving. You're going to give all the time, in all situations, all that is needed to give. So agape love is a love that gives and gives, even if it is never responded to, thanked, or acknowledged. Now, how many of you have said, and I have to raise my hand and be in that category also, there are times that I have said, well, if I'm not going to be thanked or acknowledged or responded to, then I'm not going to love you. But you don't have to think too far and too deep. How much of love have you received from the living God and not responded to it? How much love have you received from God and didn't even thank Him for it? Another day has come and gone, and you're taking the love of God for granted. Agape love is a love that gives and gives. It is a never-ending giving. It is an eternal love that we're talking about. If we talk about your love and my love, it is a finite love. It is very infinite. Therefore, I find myself not giving oftentimes what I should give in love. But when I have the love of God in me, and I do as a child of God, and the Holy Spirit is divinely persuading me to give of that love, then I will give and give and give. There is no ending to that kind of love. And that's the kind of love that God gives and God bathes us in every day that He allows us to live. So agape love is a love that gives and gives even if it is never responded to, thanked, or acknowledged. You know, it's okay in a worship service to have a time of praise and thanksgiving and just say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me today. Thank you for enabling me to love others as you love them. That's where your happiness is going to come from. Agape love is a love that gives and gives, even if it is never responded to. Can I ask you something? Can you really do this? Without God's love, could you actually give this kind of love without being appreciated or responded to or thanked? I believe the answer would be no. Then you have a love that is felt. I have another question. Do you actually feel the love of God embracing you in all scenes of life every day that He allows you to live? Can you stand up and say, I feel the love of God in my life? Let me tell you something. If you don't feel it, you can't give it. But if you feel that love within you, what are you going to do automatically without thinking, without judging, without being critical? You're going to say, I am so filled with the love of God, I'm going to give and give and give without even thinking about it. So the love of God is not only given, the love of God is felt. A love felt when an individual sees, recognizes, or appreciates the value of an object or a person. Can I ask you something else? How appreciative are you of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you feel John 3:16? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, no, not ever, but have everlasting life. My friends, that will wrap you up in the love of Almighty God. I'm a God that gives. I'm a God that is eternal and everlasting. I am a God that does not go back on His promises. A love felt when an individual sees, recognizes, or appreciates. What enables you to see, recognize, and appreciate? What would your answer be? Do you think it might be found in the Word of God? The Word of God reveals who? It reveals the glory of God. It reveals to us in affirmation who Jesus Christ really is. Yes, He was a teacher. Yes, He was a prophet. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But my friends, Jesus Christ is God. He has always been God. He has no point of origin. He has no beginning. He has no ending. And my friends, somebody like that can give you a love that another human being cannot give you, no matter how hard they try. That's the eternal, everlasting, wrapping, embracing love, forgiving love of God, compassionate and merciful love of Almighty God. And the church should be known by this kind of love and forgiveness and mercy and concern. And I want to thank you that Haynes Baptist Church is known for that and demonstrates it well, but we can do better. It is a love that is felt when an individual sees, recognizes, or appreciates the value of an object or a person. A deep love that causes a viewer to behold an object or a person in esteem. Underline that word esteem. It means in high regard. How do you look at Jesus Christ? Do you hold Him in high regard? Does all of this that we've been talking about just drive you to get on your knees and worship Him despite who's watching you? Even in a worship service here at Haynesville Baptist Church, it's okay to walk the aisle and kneel right here. It's okay to get on your knees here. I don't care if you lay on your stomach right here. It doesn't bother me. If God is in it and moving you, then it's all to the praise and the glory of God Himself. Amen? Thank you so much. Do you think it's okay to show how much you love Him? Is that okay? You know why it's okay to do, especially in the house of God? Because somebody else might catch what you're doing. And maybe they're waiting on somebody to stop being a rosebud and become a bloom and look at the beauty that's been in that bud for so long. Some of us are like blooming idiots, and that's okay. God still loves you. A deep love that causes a viewer to behold an object or person in esteem, that's high regard. In awe, that means to inspire reverence. Then there is admiration, Then there is wonder and sincere appreciation. A love so profound. Underline the word profound. It means coming from a great depth. When you worship the living Lord Jesus Christ, how deep is your worship? How far down does in your spiritual life does the Lord Jesus Christ go? Is he down deep? Does he stir you? Is there divine persuasion coming when you assemble as believers here to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe the Bible says that when we worship him in spirit and in truth, when we really praise him, when we really give him back the love that he has given us, do you think God enjoys that? Yes. Do you think God is going to respond to that? The word is absolutely. That's the answer right there. My friends, there is power in the word of God. There is power in the praise of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do as the people of Almighty God? We need to understand that we need to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and not be ashamed of loving him in here or even outside these walls. We love Jesus Christ, we love the gospel, and we love Christian people, and we love people that are unbelievers. And so it's time to become more than a bud. It's time to bloom and let them see the beauty that's inside that bud. All right, here we go. A love so profound that it knows no limits. Can you say that you love with no limits? Or I'm going to love you only if you do this for me, only if you're nice to me. When did God start loving you and me? When we were wallowing in the pig pen. When we were dead in sin and unlovable, Jesus loved us. God loved us. And God loved us so much, again, John 3:16. He gave his only begotten Son that he would die for me, pay my sin debt in full, and wash me clean with the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. A love so profound that it knows no limits or boundaries in how far, wide, high, or deep it will go to show that love to its recipient. A self-sacrificial love that moves one to action. Then look at that word service. Service here means a unique service. Now this word servant depicts a high level servant. Don't tell me where you're at the moment. That's between you and the Lord. But you know, how many of you are high level servants? Or do you even know where you are on the scale of 1 to 10? Or did you think you could just get saved and come to church, maybe Sunday school every once in a while, maybe carry a Bible here, and when you get home, you just lay it down and don't really read it? Can I say this? Does God expect us to be a high-level servant? The answer is yes. He expects us to be educated and instructed by the Word of the living God and to do what the Word tells us by the power of the Holy Spirit that you have in you. So therefore, when God gets ready to use you, there's nothing He can't do if you will be submissive to His Word and submissive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and do what the Word of God says do in any given situation. Back to the printout. The word servant depicts a high-level servant or a highly trained. Underline highly trained. Highly trained to make proficient with special instruction and practice. Why? Because God wants to use you, God wants to empower you and embolden you to do the work of the living God. Actually, so He can do His work in you and through you. Now, This word servant depicts a high-level servant or a highly trained servant who attended to the needs of others. The word service pictures serving that is honorable, pleasurable, and done in fashion that makes people being served feel as if they were nobility. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't save you to play stupid. You say, Terry, well, I'm not very bright. I'm not either. I thought D's and F's in school, D was for dandy and F was for fine. But when I brought that home, Daddy didn't see it that way. I wonder how many people I could have helped but didn't. When I stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, will I hear him say, Terry, there were a lot of people that passed by you that could have been helped. But you weren't trained enough. How many of you have shied away from helping a brother and sister in Christ because you didn't feel you were trained enough to handle the situation? Why do we always call the preacher? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm just using this because y'all don't do this. In years past, I've gotten calls from different Christians, not here. They said, would you go over and see so-and-so? Would you go talk to so-and-so about salvation? And I want to say, how long have you been saved? Are you telling me that you can't even explain the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ? And you've been going to church, you have told me, in the past 20 to 30 years, and you still don't get it enough to share it? Church is more than just coming here and not receiving. It's more than just sitting here. We're kind of like dummies sometimes, not here. Church is coming to receive and feed so God can use you to say to somebody that is standing maybe two rows down or one chair over this way or that way and tears are running down their eyes and they're gripping the back of the chairs or the pew. The knuckles have already turned white and you pretty well know what's going on. And what did you do? You said, I hope this is the last stanza of the invitational hymn this morning so I can move away from this person and I can just get out of here. Wouldn't it be nice if you knew how to share Jesus Christ? Did somebody share Jesus Christ with you someday? Did they do it? Or did they run from it? You come to church to be highly trained servants of the living God. People read the Bible all the time and they read about this prophet and this servant and that servant. They jump over into the New Testament and say, boy, I'd like to be like the Apostle Paul. That's good. Then give your life to Jesus Christ. Be willing to serve Him. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Almighty God. Be willing to go where He tells you to go, regardless of the danger and what you're going to confront. Brother, if you want to be a highly trained servant of God, highly useful, are you willing to pick up the cross and carry it and pay the price for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to learn how to share Jesus, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus loves you? Don't call the preacher. All of you that are saved are priests of Jesus Christ. You share His priesthood. And that doesn't mean you can interpret the Bible any way you want. It means you are a child of the living God and you are bathing yourself in the Word of the living God that you may live by it, that you may share it when needed and called upon. Every child of God is a priesthood, a holy nation. So, brother, don't put it off. It's time to be highly trained in the service of Christ. You know why? Isn't it going to be nice, Dwayne, one day when we get to heaven and we all stand before the judgment seat as believers? Won't it be nice to hear this one was used a lot? I could do this with that one. How useful are you in the service of Christ? This word servant depicts a high-level servant or a highly trained servant who attended to the needs of others. You say, well, Terry, you're the pastor. You got that right. I'm called and gifted just like you're called and gifted. The word service pictures serving. Again, that is honorable. Again, pleasurable. And done in fashion that makes people being served feel as if they were nobility. Judy, come up here, please. You got to hear this. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Lynette Osborne is going to be with the Lord. Yesterday, she was at hospice. But something took place in that room. Why don't you tell us what happened?
I just hope I can talk.
You can talk.
Lynette had really suffered. Yesterday morning, we talked with the doctor and felt like it was time to start taking Lynette off of the oxygen. So every hour they would come in and turn the oxygen down. Yesterday afternoon, she began to suffer. She began to fight. I went to her. I was holding her as she was fighting, trying to get out of bed. I started talking to her, telling her where she was about to go, who was going to be there waiting for her. All of a sudden, I looked up, and there was a gentleman walked in the room, and I knew immediately it was her son, a son that she had not talked to in 7 years. He walked to her bedside across from me, and I explained to him that his mother was going real fast. And then all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit fill that room. And I turned, and there were several relatives there. Her husband, Pat, daughter-in-law, and of course her son. And I asked everybody if they would just circle the bed, and so we could pray over Lynette. Everybody got around the bed and held hands. And all of a sudden, nothing came out of me. It was like I was speechless. Patsy was there, and I looked at her. I asked her if she could pray. Same thing happened to her. Nothing would come out. All of a sudden, Lynette's sister-in-law was there, and she started praying the most beautiful prayer. She stopped praying, and Patsy started praying. And it was beautiful. Patsy stopped. And all of a sudden, I'm not really sure which one of us started, but we started singing. And everybody around that bed was singing. I saw Lynette. I was standing right next to her. And I saw Lynette, her whole body totally relaxed. After we got through singing, I got my voice. And I started praying. And I started talking to Lynette. And it was almost like I was directing her to heaven. I can't even explain it. But while I was talking, I looked, and Lynette had the biggest grin on her face. She was smiling from ear to ear. The second I saw that, I knew she was in the arms of Jesus. I knew it. I don't know what possessed me. I don't know why, but I screamed. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what she saw at that moment. The whole room was blessed. There was laughter. I'd never seen anything like it. Later, nurses came in and said that they felt the Holy Spirit out in the hallway. One nurse said that was something that she had never seen before or felt before.
Amen.
So it was real. It was real. God is real.
Amen.
And He's alive.
Yep.
And anyone here, if you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, I advise you to come down here and receive Him, because He is real.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Okay. You can do this at hospice. And the Holy Spirit, the room couldn't hold Him. He said, I got to go outside in the hall too. He's everywhere present. He has no problem with that because He is God. But I want you to hear what you've read in the Bible. Somebody else was singing songs one night, praising God in jail. And some doors opened. It's the same God. Some of us are all locked up within ourselves. And we need the door to be opened. That same Holy Spirit that you've read so many times about in the New Testament, He's here. He's living inside of you. He's waiting to open more doors so you can be released and find yourself in Jesus Christ and the power of Almighty God. Very quickly. Page 2. We're not done with that yet. Look at the word faith. Faith here refers to a specific set of beliefs. A specific faith, the body of truth compromising the New Testament. Then look at patience. Patience here means to stay or to abide. Stop right there, underline that. How many times have you and I prayed for somebody to be delivered when God said, that's not what I want? God said, I don't want you to be delivered, and don't pray for deliverance. This person needs to stay in one spot and let me go to work on him. So pray that he will receive the work that is about to begin in his heart and in his life. But don't pray for deliverance out of that particular situation, because if that's all that you ever pray for, they're not going to learn a thing. It means to stay or to abide, to remain in one spot, to keep a position, to resolve to maintain territory that has been gained. I've gone this far. I've made this many steps. I've made this much progress. And God says, now claim what's yours. The victory, 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 victory. Stand on it. Maintain it. I didn't give it to you to walk and leave it. I gave it to you to maintain it. And while you're maintaining it, we're going to learn a whole lot more together. And then when I get done with you, we're going to walk forward together. This patience pictures soldiers who are ordered to maintain their positions even in the face of fierce combat. Spiritual warfare is fierce combat. Patience here means to defiantly stick it out regardless of the pressure. Well, I can't stand it. Tough. Jesus said, stay. Maintain. No matter how tough, how hard it gets, and how the punches come at you. Stay. Maintain. Stick it out regardless of the pressure mounted against it. It describes endurance, staying power, hang in there power, the attitude that holds on, holds on, holds out and holds on, outlast, outlast, perseveres, hangs in, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles and turning down every opportunity to quit. It pictures one who is under a heavy load, but refuses to bend, break, or surrender because he is convicted that the territory, promise, or principle under assault rightfully belongs to him. Patience means stamina or durability. There's a time to stand, there's a time to walk and go forward. Learn what God wants to do in your scene of life. Very quickly, notice for a second time, Jesus praises their works. Jesus is saying, I'm impressed with everything you're doing. And the last to be more than the first. Jesus says, the level of all your most recent deeds and activities is far greater in comparison to what you did when you first got saved. Here's some questions. Is Hainesville Baptist Church an amazing body of believers? I have answered yes. Of course, there's always room for improvement with all of us. Number two, is your commitment to excellence in all areas of the Christian life getting better and better? I'll let you answer that one. Number three, would Jesus Christ celebrate your maturity and the impact you are making on this community? You can answer that one yourself. Well, so there's no room for sloppy Christianity? Not at all. He says, grow and grow and grow. Become a high-ranking servant that I can put you in any situation. And somebody says, call the preacher. And you say, why call the preacher? I got this. I've got the Word of the living God, and I know how to speak it. I know how to read it. I know how to use it, and I'm going to stand on it. Period. But call me if you need me. Because what did we say the other Sunday? There's more than one preacher in this church. There's more than one servant in this church. All of you are preachers and teachers and in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So the question is, how usable are you for Jesus? Dwayne, can you come up here? Dwayne's having surgery at 11 o'clock Tuesday. Let me just ask you something. And your son, Saul? Parkinson's.
Saul.
Come on. You know, I'm a firm believer, and I've heard these stories for nearly 40 years. Thank you for that testimony. You know why God did this for you? So you could come up here and tell it. And so those nurses could hear that there are no barriers to the Holy Spirit. He can go through any wall he wants to. No barriers to the Holy Spirit. I told Monty, I said, pick us out a praise song. Something's going to be a little different this morning. And I'll tell you what, if you can't do it here, where can you do it? This is where you learn to do it. This is what the church is all about. It's a learning experience. It's praise and worship of Jesus Christ. And the best book of instructions that I know of is the Bible. Right here. Right here. Read it. Learn it. Let God use you. And you'll be the happiest you've ever been. How many of you would say, Terry, pray for me? Raise your hand. Why don't you come up here? You don't have to. Just come if you'd like. Quietly kind of sing this.
Praise the name.
I want you to just pray silently. Pray silently. For all these hands that went up. And you don't have to remember each name. God knows their names. But it's up to us to lift them up. Do that, will you? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone who is praying in this congregation. So thankful that you know each and every one of them intimately. You know more about their need than they do. And you know more about their need than the doctor does. Father, we pray those that are about to undergo surgery, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with the medical team. Give them wisdom to know what to think and what to do. Father, there are so many hands that went up, so many needs among your people. But as it took place in hospice, it'll take place here. And I believe it's happening already. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We adore you. We love you so much. We thank you so much for loving us. And I thank you for this song that's being sung at this very moment. Just thank you, Jesus. You are our rock. You are our everything. And Father, everyone we're praying for, embrace them at this very moment where they stand or where they lie, that they will feel your peace that passes all human understanding. and they will know that the presence of God is with them. And when they go to the hospital, He's going to be there also. Lord, this is Your service. Thank You for blessing it. Thank You for this testimony. And thank You for letting us know that God is not dead. He is everywhere. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. And we believe that God can do far more than what we can think or what we ask. So, Father, again, we give it all into Your hands for Your blessed will to be done. And, Father, if it is to stand still and maintain ground that has been won, give us the spiritual sensitivity to understand that and be happy with it and only move forward when You take us, that we move together. Dear Lord Jesus, anything can be done. Let it be done to the glory of Almighty God, to the blessing of Your saints, that they too may share their testimony wherever it is needed, wherever it's called upon. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.